Information, please. Presented each week at this time by Canada Dry, famous the world over for its fine beverages. Wake up, America. Time to stump the experts and enjoy a glass of cool, refreshing Canada Dry ginger ale. Every week at this time, Canada Dry provides you with a quadruple target at which to hurl your questions. Here's how it goes. For every question we use, whether or not it's answered correctly, the sender gets $5. And if your question stumps our board of experts, you not only get $10 more, but in addition, you receive a complete 24-volume set of the current Encyclopedia Britannica. Mind you, this is only if your question stumps our board of experts. Our editorial staff may reword your question a trifle. Don't worry about it. Whenever there is a duplication of questions, Information Please uses the one that was received first. All questions become the property of Information Please and should be addressed to Canada Dry, 1 Pershing Square, New York City, or in Canada, Canada Dry, Toronto. And now, may I present our master of ceremonies, Mr. Clifton Fadiman, literary critic of the New Yorker magazine. Mr. Fadiman.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have the sincere assurance of everyone on this program that these questions are not seen in advance by any of the experts. This evening, our four authorities include our tried and true trio, Franklin P. Adams, John Kieran, and Oscar Levant. And as our guest, Walter Wanger, independent moving picture producer, whose forthcoming picture, directed by Alfred Hitchcock, will be Foreign Correspondent. Remember, listeners, for each question that's missed, Canada Dry rings up $10. And that's paid out to the sender, plus 24 volumes of the latest edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica. So much for preliminaries. Now shall we begin with a question from Mrs. E.C. Rogers of St. Louis, Missouri. It's divided into three parts, and you have to get all three, gentlemen, to get by. Complete the lines from poems or songs that begin as follows. Just go on with them. The first is Hickety Pickety. Mr. Kieran.
My black hen, she lays eggs for gentlemen. Thank gentlemen you. Come every day to see what my black hen doth lay.
What a plot for one of Mr. Wanger's pictures, Mr. Kieran. That's quite right. Handy Spandy. Handy Spandy. How does that go on? Mr. Kieran,
well,
again.
Well, it goes the handy, spandy, fine and dandy, but I've forgotten the rest of it.
Not something fine. Else than sugar candy.
That's right. Mr. Adams. I think between the two of you ought to be able to get it. It's handy, spandy, jack-a-dandy, loves plum cake and sugar candy. Mr. Wanger, do you think we're just wasting our time doing this sort of thing?
I think it's all rehearsed.
No, honestly. How does it go on? Do you know how it continues, Mr. Adams?
As far as I know.
Would you care to know?
Yes, I'd love it.
I thought you would. Jack-a-dandy loves plum cake and sugar candy. He bought some at a grocer's shop, and then he came out hop, hop, hop. The third and last, this is pretty easy, is Ink-a-dink-a-doo. How does that go on? Ink-a-dink-a-doo, Mr. Levant.
It's all in the rhythm. I don't know the words. It's ink-a-dink-a-doo. Is that right? Or dink-a-doo? I don't know.
You make it sound different.
It's duplicated. You just keep on saying it.
No. It really goes on. It develops after that.
It's Jimmy Durante in one of his...
But there's a real line of English in it.
Well, I haven't had time to look for that.
Ink-a-dink-a-doo, ink-a-dink-a-doo, oh, what a tune for crooning. Isn't that the way it goes? Something like that? Tune for crooning. That's the one you didn't get right. I think we'll send $10 to Mrs. E.C. Rogers of St. Louis, plus a set of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Thank you. From R. Strauch of Toledo comes this one. Again, a three-part question. Get two out of three, gentlemen, if you can. In what movies or plays are these places important? The first place is East River Terrace. East River Terrace. Mr. Wanger.
Dead End.
In Dead End. What is East River Terrace in Dead End?
The apartment house where the rich meet the poor.
Yes, in the movies. That's quite right. The second is Johnny the Priests. Johnny the Priests. Had its place in what movie or play? Or
is
in both?
That
Mr.
gangster Levant? Picture with Eddie Robinson in it?
Which one?
Brother Orchid?
No.
He was in a monastery.
I don't think so.
How did he ever get in the monastery?
Warner Brothers.
Did you say Warner Brothers put him there, Mr. Wanger? The answer, by the way, is what? Johnny the Priest is a saloon appearing in Anna Christie by Eugene O'Neill, which is both a play and a movie, I believe. That gives us one wrong. It means we have to get the next one absolutely right. The Footlights Club of New York. The Footlights Club of New York. Mr. Wanger?
In Kaufman's show... Stage Door.
Stage Door, yes. Mr. Levant?
Played by Mrs. Levant and Mrs. Wanger on the road with great success.
Is that so? That's so, Mr. Levant.
You better include Miss Ferber, you'll get a storm of letters.
Well, that gives us three very charming
ladies.
Would
you mind saying my wife and I saw it?
Oh. right, we'll put in Mrs. Adams. We'll put in Mrs. Adams. That gives us four charming ladies connected with stage door and passes us on to the next question. From Reva E. Bardell of Hermosa Beach, California. Get two out of three gentlemen on this one. Here are four groups of words. Each group is taken from a famous speech. All you have to give me is the name of the author of the speech. The first group of words is burden, emperor, woman, constitutionally. We have two hands up. Mr. Kieran.
I think that is the speech of the Duke of Windsor when he abdicated the English throne.
That's right. Mr. Levant had his hand up, too, and I'm sure he's going to say the same thing. Mr. Levant?
Yeah, that's right. There was a Calypso song appearing in Newsweek about
it. Is that how you remember it?
Wait a minute. How's it go? For love and love alone, did King Edward give up his throne?
Something like that. But I don't know whether these same four words were used. To get the speech from the four words, I think, is quite a trick. Thank you, Mr. Kieran and Mr. Levant. Now, here's another set of four words. Death, chains, British, liberty. What famous speech contains those four words? Mr. Adams.
Patrick Henry's.
Patrick Henry's speech given where?
I think at the Constitutional Convention.
No, it was not. No,
Virginia.
That's a comment. Mr. Wanger?
In Virginia at the... I can't think of it.
Is it an MGM theater, probably?
It's back in a Warner Brothers short again.
I think it was long before MGM's time, if that is possible. It was in Richmond, Virginia.
Assembly.
It was before
the
that.
Assembly,
the Virginia Convention, yes. Perhaps you remember the famous lines that I think most Americans remember. Do you remember them, Mr. Kieran?
Yes. When shall we have liberty? Shall it be when a British soldier is quartered in every home and so forth and so on?
He didn't say and so forth and so on. I believe it.
Well, that's how it is.
The words that we're talking of, death, chains, British, and liberty, are all in the last two lines.
I cannot what courts others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
That's right.
Now he got both.
That's true, he did. Here's the third and last set of four words. Strife, entangle, ambition, European. From what speech?
Sounds like an isolationist or an interventionist.
Well, at the time, perhaps, it was an isolationist speech. Mr. Kieran?
I think that was Washington, George Washington.
Yes.
And it may have been his farewell speech.
It was indeed, Mr. Kieran. The farewell address in 1796, September 17th. That's quite right. I don't think that was a very easy question to answer. The next one from R. Moran of Los Angeles is a four-part question. Get three parts out of the four if you can. Now, you're going to hear some songs, that is, a few notes from each of four songs. Each of these songs was featured originally in a dramatic picture. Identify the picture in which it played an important part. Is that clear? Let's have the first. Levant had his hand up almost at once.
That was in a pre-talkie picture called Seventh Heaven.
That's quite right. And what's the song called?
Diane.
Diane, Seventh Heaven, featuring, do you remember?
Janet Gaynor in pictures, Helen Mankin on a stage. It was written by Austin Strong.
You left out the boy, friend.
Charles Farrell.
That's right.
Subsequently
that's right.
Done
fair,
by Simon.
Be fair, Mr. Levant.
I don't know why I should remember that.
You know, he ought to be useful in pictures, Mr. Wanger.
Didn't Paramount take up his option?
Frankly, well, they're vacillating.
Well, this is your chance. This is your chance, Oscar. How about the next song, which I almost gave away? Mr. Adams, you're just enjoying this, aren't you?
Not very much.
Mr. Levant.
Love and Bloom, naturally.
Love and Bloom, yes.
It was in a Bing Crosby picture.
What's it called?
Frankly, I've never seen a Bing Crosby. Yes, I have.
Yes, you have. At close quarters, too, Mr. Levant.
She Loves Me Not?
Yes, She Loves Me Not, a Bing Crosby picture. And that featured the song Love and Bloom, Maxie Love and Bloom. The next song... Well, this is the only one that I would have known.
Right.
Pretty easy. Any of the... Mr. Levant has his hand up, but I'd like to get some sort of response from any of the other three.
Well, it's by... Not by William Saroy.
The name Mr. Adams?
I don't know what it is. The Man on the Flying Trapeze.
That's
I
right.
I know what picture it was in. If it wasn't in shoulder arms.
And gosh, I hate to say it, Mr. Adams, but it wasn't in shoulder arms. Mr. Levant, will you help us out?
It was in that Clark Gable picture with Claudette Colbert. One Saturday.
Yes, it was in that Colbert picture with Clark Gable. And it was called, Mr.
Levant? It happened one night.
It happened one night. That's right. The fourth and last of the songs. Mr. Wanger, do you go to pictures at all?
Very seldom.
It's a very interesting invention, Mr. Wanger.
I'm following Mr. Adams.
You ought to see some of these pictures. Mr. Levant, you have your hand up on that?
No, I haven't got my hand up.
You mean to say that we lose out on this one?
We have to have four again?
We have to get 3 out of 4. We're all right, but I'd like you boys to get that one. Now, let's play it again. Probably no one listening outside doesn't know the answer to this question. The song, of course, is See What the Boys in the Back Room Will Have, and you will find it in Destry Rides Again, featuring the inimitable Marlena Dietrich, as we call her. Mm-hmm. That gives us 3 out of 4. We just slipped by on that one. See what you can do on this. Francis E. Martini of Brooklyn sends the following in. This is a question about poetry. Get 2 out of 3. Complete the thought by quoting the lines that follow each of these famous lines of poetry. The first line is, a thing of beauty is a joy forever. How does it go on, gentlemen? Mr. Kieran's hand was up.
Well, I can't go on very far with it.
I doubt that.
Its loveliness will never fade.
You're just trying to improve on Keats.
Yes, a little bit. It's Endymion, the opening lines of...
Don't take advantage of a dead poet. Its loveliness increases.
Increases.
Yeah, how does it go on?
Oh, I don't know. You know, that's a terribly long poem, that Endymion. It's in 4 books.
I know, but all I want is another 3 words out of you, Mr. Kieran. It is long. I'm not asking you to quote the whole poem.
I give up.
Though I think it would be no more than fair. Its loveliness increases. It will never pass into nothingness, but still will keep a bower quiet for us and a sleep full of sweet dreams and health and quiet breathing. Does it come back to you at all,
Mr. Adams? Where'd you get that brogue?
It's a scotch in me. I don't know whether to pass you on that or not.
No, you ought to flunk it.
I'll flunk
it. I didn't know it.
That means we have to get the next 2 right. Oh, sleep, it is a gentle thing. How does that go on, Mr. Adams?
Beloved from pole to pole.
That's quite right. It's from what poem?
Rime of the Ancient Mariner.
Yes. Do you know how it goes on after beloved from pole to pole, Mr. Adams? To Mary Queen, the praise be given. She sent
the gentle sleep from heaven which slid into my soul.
That's exactly right, Mr. Adams. Thank you very much. Do you know that, Mr. Kieran?
Well...
Yes or no?
Don't fight, boy.
I know it as well as I know the other.
How about this one? My heart leaps up when I behold... Mr. Kieran.
A rainbow in the sky. So was it...
Are you looking,
Frank?
Mr. Adams? I think he's got you there, Mr. Adams.
So is it now I am
So
a man.
Was it when my life began.
So is it now I am a man.
So be it.
When until I die. That's Wordsworth.
The child is father to the man.
That's a little later on in the poem, I think, yes. Mr. Adams, but part of the same thing. It's the Wordsworth famous poem, The Rainbow. That gives us 2 out of 3, which is all we were required to get, and sends us on to the next question from Mr. B. Delaney of Boston. Get 2 out of 3 on this. We'll make a rapid switch from verse to sports. Identify the unusual sporting event suggested by the following situations. Great favorite upset by 35-1 shot in annual race.
What is that, horses?
You're telling me or am I telling you, Mr. Levant? Great favorite upset by 35-1 shot in annual race. What sporting event suggested by that? Mr. Kieran.
Why, there was a recent Gold Cup motor boat regatta, or speedboat regatta, in which a second-hand boat beat all the very expensive ones.
Haven't the slightest doubt that's true.
Certainly is.
Unfortunately, it's not the answer to my question.
Well...
Though I could make up a very good question based on your answer, Mr. Kieran. Well, it's the recent Kentucky Derby upset. Well, reasonably recent. How long ago was it, Mr. Kieran?
It was in May. Galahadian beat Bimelec.
Yes, well, that's pretty recent to us fellows.
Oh, I...
35-1
I claim a foul on that one.
Does it come back to you now? Yes, Galahadian beat the favorite Bimelec, who came in second. May 4th, 1940. That isn't so long ago.
It is if you don't like horses.
Well, I'll see what we can do on the last 2. Trailing 13-0 in the last quarter, the winning team scored 3 touchdowns. the last and winning touchdown with only seconds left to play. What event, Mr. Adams?
Michigan and Ohio State.
No.
How about it, Mr. Levant?
No, that's that famous Notre Dame-Ohio State game.
Yes, that's right.
I heard that one on the radio.
That's right, Mr. Levant. Ohio beat Notre Dame. It was November 2nd, 1935.
I know that
whole game. Was a long time ago. What was the final score then?
20, it was very close. Three touchdowns?
Three touchdowns.
Well, it must have been 2019.
18 to 13, I suppose. 18 to 13 was the final score. I don't know whether to count you right or wrong on that, Mr. Adams.
Wrong.
You had one of the teams right.
I had the year wrong.
Well, yeah, he's sentimental about
that
Michigan.
Wasn't good enough. All right, down she goes as wrong. Here is another. Champ returns to ring and knocks out opponent. Champ returns to ring and knocks out opponent. Are you frowning at me, Mr. Kerr?
No, but there's going to be a row about this one.
Let's have it right now. Let's have it right now.
Go ahead.
Do you want to start the row, Mr. Levant?
Yeah, I'm going to say Jack Dempsey, the wrestler.
Jack Dempsey and what?
And some wrestler named Lust something. Not Lust, that's like Van Gogh.
No, I think calling his opponent a wrestler is libelous.
Luttrell, his name was. You call him
Mr. Kieran?
I think that question, if they're going back that far, refers to the Dempsey-Tunney match in Chicago.
No, I don't think so. I want you to observe the form of the question. Champ returns to ring and knocks out opponent.
Joe Louis.
No.
Henry Armstrong. Well, they're all champions.
Well, you've named everybody except Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, Mr. Levant. It was Dempsey versus Fierpo in 1923. Dempsey was knocked out of the ring in the first round and came back and knocked him out in the second round. Am I wrong, Mr. Kieran?
No, you can go back to Peddler Palmer and Terry McGovern and those fellows.
We probably could. We just haven't time.
Don't be casuistic.
We seem to have made a perfect, or at least a perfectly bad score of three wrong out of a possible three, sending $10 and a set of the encyclopedia to Mr. Delaney. So far, we have, let's see, I find that Canada Dry has parted with $20 and two sets of the encyclopedia. And as I point the finger of scorn at our experts, won't you please listen to Mr. Cross?
During the past year, Information Please movie shorts have been filmed and shown on picture screens throughout the country. Great numbers of people have enjoyed watching our experts at work. And even greater numbers are enjoying sparkling Canada Dry water every day. Thousands upon thousands serve this splendid club soda at home and order it in hotels and restaurants. The platinum-colored bottle with the silver top is a familiar daily sight on tables everywhere. Pinpoint carbonation, a term coined by Canada Dry, has become part of our language owing to everyday usage. And small wonder, because pinpoint carbonation is the reason why your favorite drinks taste better and last longer. So, for pleasant entertainment, see the Information Please movie shorts. And for pleasant refreshment, specify sparkling Canada Dry water when ordering a club soda.
Thanks for the plug, Mr. Cross. And by the way, your announcement ran 53 seconds. Shall we go on with the second half of the program with a question coming to us from Joseph R. Rosenthal of Washington, D.C.? Again, a three-part question. Get two out of three. In what military situations of the past or present did the following weather conditions have an important bearing on the outcome? In the first case, extreme cold. Extreme cold. Mr. Wanger.
Finland.
I beg your pardon?
The Finnish campaign.
Well, I think I would accept that. That's quite true. The Russians had considerable difficulty. Perhaps they weren't equipped to withstand the extreme cold. I was thinking of another instance from the past. Mr. Adams?
Valley Forge.
Oh. Yes, but I don't think that it had an important influence on the outcome. The Revolutionary Army withstood the cold. Mr. Kieran.
I should say Napoleon's attack on Moscow.
Yes, the retreat from Moscow and the losing of many, many thousands of men in the extreme cold. But Mr. Wanger's reply was perfectly correct, I should say.
Well, any campaign in Russia had that element.
Pretty near, yes.
I said Finland.
I beg your pardon?
I said Finland.
I beg your pardon.
No, but Mr. Levant said any
campaign Finland
in Russia.
At different times has been, as you can recall.
As cold as Russia.
Part of Russia.
A part of Russia.
I wouldn't worry. Let's not split degrees this way, gentlemen. But go on to the next weather condition, fog. What military situation of the past or present? Mr. Kieran.
Why, there was fog over the part of the Battle of Jutland, for one thing.
Well, of course, no one knows exactly how that battle came out, so perhaps it wasn't decisive.
Well,
I think it was generally considered an Allied victory.
Well, I read where, just today, bring it back again, that the some British ships fired on other British ships by mistake because of the fog.
Well, I don't think the fog was decisive in settling the battle. Mr. Levant.
The evacuation of Dunkirk was abetted by fog.
Yes, I should say that was true, that fog helped the BEF during their heroic evacuation from Dunkirk. I think that would be true, that the fog was of great aid to them. How about severe storm? Can you think of any military or naval situation of the past or present in which a severe storm was of some importance?
Captain's Courageous by Rudyard Kipling.
Yes, there was a severe storm. Not a military situation, though. But you have to go back several hundred years to the time that the Spanish were attacking. Yes. Mr. Kieran?
The Armada.
Yes, the...
1588.
That's right. The storm helped to destroy and scatter the ships of the invading Spanish Armada. Well, that gives us 2 out of 3 and sends us on to a question from Mary H. Raitt. Get all, gentlemen, on this. What were the following characters of fact or fiction looking for? The first, a pair of characters, the prince and the pauper. What were they looking for? The prince and the pauper.
That's Mark Twain, isn't it?
That's Mark Twain.
Well,
Don't tell me they were looking for a producer, Mr.
No, there was a lot of confusion there. Weren't they twins?
And you've inherited it. How about it?
Weren't they twins?
No, not precisely.
Well, I didn't want to let you down. I'm confused.
They look very much alike. They were looking for... I'd have to tell you the whole plot in order to explain what I mean. But they were both looking for the royal seal, which was to prove that the prince was the prince and the pauper was the pauper. For further details, see your daily newspaper. That gives us one wrong. How about Tex Rickard? What was Tex Rickard looking for? I have 2 hands up. 3 hands up. Mr. Adams.
Looking for a champion.
He was looking for a champion to beat whom?
He was looking for a white hope.
He was looking for a white hope, Mr. Levant. That's quite right.
To beat Jack Johnson.
To beat Jack Johnson. That's right. Blind Pugh. Blind Pugh was looking for what or whom, Mr. Kieran?
Blind Pugh was looking for the sea chest that was kept by the old seaman who came to live at the house of the hero of Treasure Island.
Yes, and what was in the
chest? Because in the chest was a map showing where the treasure was buried on this island.
That's right. That's exactly right. Mr. Levant, what were you going to say?
What is Joe Pugh looking for?
Haven't got him down on the card. I wouldn't know. That gives us only 2 out of 3. Here's another off-the-record question, which we won't count. What was Detective Sam Y looking for? Detective Sam Y, W-Y-E.
Looking for my wife again.
What were you saying, Mr. Wanger?
Trade Winds, looking for the heroine.
He was looking for the heroine, who was Miss Joan Bennett, Mr. Wanger's wife, as he has informed us. Yes. And what was the name of the character as played by Miss Bennett in Trade Winds? Do you remember, Mr. Wanger?
Mm.
Did you have anything to do with the picture?
Very
by
little.
She played the piano, I remember. Chopin's
not a part. Kay Kerrigan, I think it was. Kay Kerrigan, yes, that's right. Well, we got only 2 out of 3 on that, sending $10 to Miss Raitt of Washington, D.C. Do what you can with this one, from John J. DeMott of Arlington, New Jersey. Name the states of the Union that bound each of these states. The first state is Maine. Bound Maine. That is, what states of the Union
bound?
Are adjacent to it. Maine. Mr. Kieran?
I think New Hampshire.
Yes, yes, New Hampshire, that's right. I've always thought it was a shame that New Hampshire separated Maine from Vermont. That's right. There's only one of the states.
One state. There's a narrow strip runs out to the to a naval base there.
Portsmouth,
yeah. New Hampshire. Yes, but that's the only state that is adjacent to Maine. That's rather a tricky question. How about Texas? What states bound Texas? State or states bound Texas? Now we have Mr. Levant's hand up. Mr. Levant?
Oklahoma, Kansas. That's right so far.
I'm not saying.
Sure, it's right. Oklahoma, Kansas? Saying. Wait a minute now.
You said Oklahoma, Kansas. That's not 4 states. That's just 2 states and a stutter.
All right, that's a start. Let somebody else finish it.
New Mexico.
No.
New Mexico? Mr. Kieran?
Arizona.
Well, you couldn't have made a worse job of bounding Texas. I've never seen
anything
like that in my life.
Wait a minute. Arizona is part of the boundary of Texas.
No.
Kansas and Oklahoma was not bad.
Kansas is terrible.
Kansas is way up.
Well, why don't you stop?
Kansas
How
is
about
a very,
Mexico itself?
Kansas is a very fine state, but it does not bound Texas.
New Mexico.
New Mexico, Oklahoma, Arkansas, and, gentlemen, Louisiana.
Louisiana,
yes. Look it up on the map.
We were only wrong by 4.
Gives us another $10 penalty going out to Mr. DeMott, plus a set of the Encyclopedia Britannica. And all of you, gentlemen, receive a free atlas in the morning. Here's a question from Ada Alice Rogers of Baltimore, Maryland. Get 2 out of 3 if you can. Who constructed the following? The first was a 3-story object built of gopher wood containing rooms and a window and covered with pitch. Who constructed it? The look of distinction on these four places.
Is that
places,
Radio City?
No, I'm telling you. You're exaggerating. Mr. Adams.
I think it was somebody in the Old Testament.
Yes, who was it?
A real estate man.
No, it was a weatherman, as a matter of fact. It was Noah. Noah, who constructed the ark, which is what I've been describing. Who constructed an airplane made of an old hoop skirt or two, as well as some wire and several old umbrellas? Who constructed that?
One of the Wright
Perfectly
brothers.
Simple. No, it wasn't. You'd think so, but it wasn't.
A man in
that
Paris.
That sounds like...
How about it, Mr. Kieran?
Blairo, whatever.
The artist.
No,
the
that's
great,
wrong.
Great
Mr. Wenger?
Da Vinci?
No. Darius Green. Darius Green, the hero of a poem, Darius Green and His Flying Machine. 2 wrong out of 2. Very good, gentlemen. A human who constructed a human wall across a river.
The Chinese did that once.
No, I think you're guessing. It was Major Robert Rogers in the motion picture and novel Northwest Passage. And that sends $10 to Miss Rogers of Baltimore, Maryland, and Mr. Cross.
For you late vacationists, whether your plans call for a tour of scenic Canada or the wonders of our own country, you'll find one thing they have in common: Canada Dry Ginger Ale. From the far reaches of northern Canada to Key West, Florida, Canada Dry is well known. Its goodness and healthful qualities are appreciated. And for good reason, for Canada Dry is made from the finest Jamaica ginger, selected spices from the four corners of the world, and other choice ingredients blended by experts under a formula that has never been duplicated. It's famous as the champagne of ginger ales. So in your travels, on all occasions when the time comes for refreshments, remember that Canada Dry is always available whether you travel in the United States or Canada. And we would like to remind those who are interested in Canadian travel that there are no border restrictions other than the usual citizenship identification. No passports or visas are necessary. Now here's Mr. Fadiman.
Well, we learn that Canada Dry has lost a total of $50 plus 5 sets of the encyclopedia. Not so good, gentlemen. Mr. Wanger, Canada Dry thanks you for coming tonight. Next week, Mr. Kieran and Mr. Adams will be on tap. And as our guests, we will have first our old friend, the famous critic and novelist, Christopher Morley, and second, the distinguished son of a distinguished father, James Roosevelt, motion picture producer, who is now in New York to present his much-awaited and discussed film, Pastor Hall. Remember, listeners, for every question we use, whether or not it's answered correctly, the sender gets $5. And if your question stumps our board of experts, you not only get $10 more, but in addition, a complete 24-volume set of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Remember, send your letters with questions and the correct answers to Canada Dry, 1 Pershing Square, New York City.
You will find Canada Dry Ginger Ale, Sparkling Water, Lime Ricky, and Tom Collins Mixer at your favorite neighborhood stores. The large family-size bottle is most economical, costing only 15 cents plus bottle deposit. This is Milton Cross saying goodnight for Canada Dry. Until next week at this same time.